Hello, everybody, and welcome to our podcast on cost reduction. I'm joined today by Simon Dodson, who is from ERA, Expense Reduction Analysts. He's been working there for over 11 years and has literally saved clients millions and millions in his cost reduction work. Obviously, with the potential looming recession, we are all worrying about cost reduction and how to make sure our businesses are lean, particularly as we're seeing margins being squeezed, both in buying and material, but also costs increasing, particularly around the energy market. So as the chairman of Avondale, it fell to me to try and come up with some ideas to help you keep the profits in your business and maintain a lean business model. Simon's going to share some of his experiences. Recently, he saved over 43% in a project on heating and oil, but also logistics, 10%, and I'm sure he's got other cost reduction ideas that he can save. As I looked at this for ideas for you guys, how can we make more money by cutting costs and maintaining a lean machine on the cost front? I realise it's quite a worrying time, and for me, the biggest tips remain automation. But the other thing, when we look at most companies with our strategy eyes on, invariably we do see some layer caking from a personnel point of view, particularly where people double tap. So the simplest thing, and it's a strategy tip, roles and responsibilities. When was the last time you updated them? How much are you double touching? Where can you be lean and cost share roles? So of course, people often will be the highest cost saving and automation relevant. But if you've already done that and you haven't got any other ideas as where to go on that, then buying, of course, is a key area. And it's really fundamentally procurement, looking at your cost bases where ERA specialise. So Simon, little bit of backdrop from you. You've been doing this for 11 years. What do you guys do, and how can you help our clients save money?
Morning, Kevin. Thank you for having me on. I suppose the best place to start is just to sort of explain a little bit more about ERA, how we work as an organisation, and what we do. We are a fully independent procurement consultancy, just focusing on overhead expenditures. So we don't look at people, we don't look at strategies in terms of where you're going, trying to go as an organisation, but really to provide our clients with resources and expertise where they find it difficult to finance or to replicate some of those things themselves. So when I'm talking with clients, it's not about saying, I am your procurement function. It's about where do you need help? You know, what have you done? Where are the struggles for you as an organisation? And do I have the right type of resource within ERA to be able to parachute that person in and drive savings and efficiencies and value for you that's difficult for you to achieve yourself?
So we're, obviously most of our clients think they buy well, or they've got their costs pretty nailed down. Why can you do this and not them? Where does that work for them?
This is our IP, in truth, our USP rather than our IP. ERA is a global organisation. We're in 40 countries. We've got 700 consultants across the globe. There's 100 in the UK, what we call frontline consultants, and another 50 or 60 in sort of the back office staff. And it's that if you could see us on video now, you could see I'm a 50-year-old guy. We're all growing grey, right? And we understand the sector, we understand our business, and we've been in those sectors for many years and decades. So if I'm talking to you about logistics, which we mentioned as a project, there's the I bring in the project specialist who does nothing but logistics, right? And he has a visibility, a leverage in the market that it's difficult for medium enterprises to replicate themselves. So if it's telecommunications, if it's oils, if it's fuel cards, if it's workwear, there's 50 to 60 different cost categories that we work in. And we're able to put in a person who just does that, right? And that's all they do. So when they're bidding for your business and to sort of get the best prices available in that. We already know what best prices looks like. Trouble for many organizations is that when you're bidding for something and you're procuring for them, you're only doing it once every 2 or 3 years maybe. And so you just don't have that visibility and you just don't have that knowledge to know whether you are receiving the best price or not. Yeah, you're effectively spot buying.
So it's quite interesting, you know, how many clients think they are sort of good at this, but as you say, because they've only got their set of accounts to look at, they just can't tell what their competitors are paying. So you don't know whether you've got a good deal, do you? I mean, that's
correct. Correct. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. That's not saying that all clients are bad, right? Because we do work with clients where actually they're really good at buying some core costs. Yeah. Because they've got an expertise there, but maybe not on others. So our job isn't to sort of come in and fill all of those roles, but to actually sort of say, actually, look, you got that under control. Keep doing what you're doing there really well. How about we look at your photocopiers? How about we look at
It's 50 plus people really as your sort of size organisation you're saving. It's hard to do it below that. But if you've got a slightly smaller business, Simon, do you offer opinions? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, the reason we put a sort of a threshold on it of number of staffs or turnover or value is only so much you want to make it worthwhile for both the business and for yourself. But there can be cost areas within a business that are relatively modest but very critical. Right. So, you know, if you can't take payments, right, so if you're in the hotel and leisure sector, you know, and you're struggling to take payments because you haven't got the right supplier in there, that's critical, right? You can't take income. So we can help you because we've got a banking team. You know, one of the guys in our banking team is the ex-general manager of MasterCard. Right. There's nothing he doesn't know about transactions and transferring money around and what the best pricing to pay for that is. So it might only be a small cost to you, but actually it could be very valuable to you and therefore you need a help in a different way rather than just cost saving. But 90% of the time we're generally brought in to save money for our clients.
And what's happening on the energy front at the moment? I mean, I've got a client that's just, I think they're very fortunate. They just put a solar roof on top of their shed. You know, it's great, but they were just about ahead. But of course, you try and order that now, you won't get it for months and months. So, what's happening on that front?
I was really hoping you wouldn't ask me that question.
I've got my wood burners ready, Simon. I'm all right.
If you go back 12 months, prices started to increase from where they were, sort of 15 per kilowatt hour, which was pretty much the sort of the lowest point that they got to. By the end of the year, they were sort of flapping around 25 to 30p, and into the start of the war with Ukraine and Russia. Since then, it's crept up, and there is very little that you can do about it from a cost reduction point of view. Okay? The market is what the market is, and you're going to be paying those increases. I've got clients who decided to go on to, when the renewals were due in March, they decided to wait and on the hope that the market would come back down, and their hope was it would come back down to about 30p when it was at 40p. Right? It's now at 90p. Right. The increase in the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks has been exponential, and it's just gone off the charts. There isn't really good advice apart from understanding the strategy for each client. The one thing I will say, and it depends when this podcast is going out, is for businesses with a half hourly meter, 70% of those renewals are due at the end of this month. So what we've seen is a demand for new contracts against the market that's at an unsustainable high. The hope is that come the 1st of October, lots of those contracts will be put away, that things will start returning to some normality. I want to say normality. What is the new, we talk about those new normals, right? What is that, 40p, 50p, right? We don't know, but it's clearly not sustainable. The government is now making noises about supporting consumers, not much about businesses yet. But businesses are hugely affected by it. And I've got a couple of clients who are due to renewal this 30th of September, and they're looking at £500,000 accounts turned into £3 to £3.5 million accounts for their utilities, which is clearly not sustainable.
But the hope is, I mean, I've been looking at this, been talking to some retail banks on interest rates, and you know, the view is that they can't go up to more than 2 or 3%. An economist said to me, well, that's fine, but it depends what the US does, you know, if their interest rates go up. But you can't cope with interest rate rises and fuel rises alongside each other without a massive, massive dip. But when in the research I was doing on that, actually, three positives. We've still got high employment.
Yeah.
54% of people own their own home. And there's a lot of niche manufacturing in the UK, which is quite surprising, actually. We are a nation of engineers. So it's very easy to get pessimistic about those costs. But actually, the viewpoint does seem to be by most economists, this is a sort of 12-month, you know, this is our war, this is our front line for the next 12 months. It will ease off as we get organised behind the scenes. So, you know, I think you've got to look at cost reduction elsewhere. Energy is what it is, right?
That's right.
I wouldn't want to get pegged into a five-year deal at the moment, and I probably wouldn't want to do the same on interest rates either, because I think in 2 years' time, it will have eased off. Who knows? But yeah. do you agree with that, Simon?
I do. But as what we don't know is where it comes down again. Again, if you can see it, we'll be going, we're doing little arcs, right? And seeing where the new bottom is. We don't know. I think until we become, when you talk about utilities, we need substantial investment in solar panels, wind energy, and to become much more self-sufficient. And the global supply chain has probably got to be reduced in some way for those critical needs that we have as any country.
And you come back to fleet if you've got solar. And I've got clients where they're looking at, they've got shed roofs which are not strong enough to put solar on, but we've got a client that's got a roll-on solar panel. So yeah. It's much lighter. But the argument, therefore, is new tech is coming forward all the time, right? So you've got your solar fleet, you've got the roll-on solar panel. And I guess for now, you've got to give the guys the thermals. You've come back to workwear. Can you reduce the heating bill to 20? I don't know what the rules are on that, but you know, get through this winter. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, if you, I've got a client who's a food distributor, and a cool ambient temperature is what they need to work in. So gloves and hats and everything is what they need. Yeah. But the only thing is, in a hot summer, it means their energy bills are really high. But you're right, solar panels is a solution. It's not a short-term solution because you're looking at 6 to 9 months at least to get the permission to get them up, get them installed, and get them operational. And clearly, in the winter, there's less solar energy available. So you're not going to get as much benefit from solar panels in the winter months as you would from the summer months. Stating the obvious, but you got to, unfortunately, all of these solutions are going to benefit next year. Nothing in the short term.
But if I'm a finance director, I'm a CEO, I can get my accounts out, look at the last 2-3 years, see the trends on costs, and literally outsource it to you and go, look, yeah. And you know, don't take it personally that you may not have done such a good job at procurement internally, line by line, what can you say? And see what comes out. And you guys work on a contingent basis as well. So it's a no-brainer from that point of view.
Yeah, I mean, it's... If you go back to your first point about the purchase ledger, we can work through the line items and look at your costs, whether it's photocopiers, telecommunications, mobiles, print. You know, there's going to be 15, 20 areas within a business that we typically can review together. And it's really just saying, well, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are your contractual obligations? Because If you're in a three-year contract, you're in a three-year contract. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not possible to renegotiate that contract, but it might not be able to achieve the desired outcome. That might be better to wait until in 3 years' time. But the point is that out of those 20 costs, you might only find 4 or 5 that are worth tackling, that is going to deliver real ultimate value back for the organisation. And if we're working on the share of savings, it's risk-free for the client because there's no cost right? We only get paid by a share of the savings that come from the supply chain.
That's good. And I will just go back full circle, because one of the costs you talked about photocopying, but you know, I thought everyone was paperless these days.
Well, yes, I know. It used to be a very good category for us photocopiers, but yeah. But yeah, in a professional services business, I work in London and the city a lot. Clearly, that's massively changed. Yeah. In education, it's not, right. They still have a lot of photocopiers. So a lot of the time, actually, it's about understanding your print needs rather than actually how many costs, what your unit cost is for each piece of paper that you print on. So it might be a reduction of your fleet from 10 copiers to 5 or 6, and then looking at unit cost reduction on those 5 or 6.
But I want to just chuck in. I made a comment earlier about looking at your business model and your number of people you've got and making sure you're not layer caking, but also automation being really quite interesting. And you sort of come back nearly every sector, you know, they're still looking at their IT as slightly different to their mobile and slightly different to their, their print. And actually, the three have combined. And if you look at most organizations, still a fairly traditional IT support model where they've got someone that looks after them on a break fix basis. But most of the businesses we deal with, they're not big enough to have a CTO. So they can't design this environment. Mm-hmm. And that's a real problem, because you know, you want to try and look at not just at the cost base, but actually, are the solutions that you're using correct? So an opportunity, and we have people, if Simon doesn't, is to try and get a CTO type review of your business model, and particularly around the vendor management of your IT supplier, your software, your license. Quite often, people have lots of licenses they're not using, and that's a classic. And they've got modules on other products that they could use to replace them. And then, as I say, there's a consolidation of that. So we've all seen in recent years, but still not everyone doing it, the advent of Teams VoIP, for example. You know, it's in Microsoft. It's a no-brainer. You don't need a hardwired phone system these days. It's cheaper. What's your view on that, Simon?
Well, lots of questions in there. Can we help from a CTO's strategic point of view? Is yes. It might be a combination of people that we would create. So it wouldn't necessarily be a single sort of point of contact within ERA. Yes, you're right in terms of things like VoIP and moving to new digital platforms for communications. But it doesn't. I think when we spoke last week, where we spoke briefly about this, and is that there's still a lot of companies out there that are analog usage, right? So they need to quickly move to a digital platform. But also it comes back to the point is actually there's thousands of resellers out in the UK selling telecommunication services, selling IT services. And it comes back to this point of actually, do I have the expertise to select the right type of supplier and deliver the right type of costs, right? So that's again where we can help, because half the job is saying, I've got a school that's got a gold-plated telecommunication system, right? They've got voice recording, teleconferencing and all this. And all they need is dial 1 for reception, dial 2 to speak to the head office, right? And dial 3 for this. They don't need the gold-plated stuff. So it's really about understanding what it is that you need to deliver the right type of solution. And because it's what we do on our day job, we can get to that answer pretty quickly and get to the clients to solutions pretty quickly.
I think the advantage you and I have when we're looking at companies or looking at accounts in that is that impartiality. You do get very caught as a owner or, you know, finance team, you know, in the day job. It's quite hard to step back and go, objectively, you know, where are we good and where are we bad? And probably in the end, the bits you enjoy will work well and be you know, cost reduced, as it were. The bits you don't, you know, inefficient, not looked at. So as a clue, that's an area to think about.
We talk about proof of concepts, Kevin. So, you know, if a client is a little bit cautious or got lots on or is unsure of whether to proceed, we'll say, well, okay, let's just take a low-risk, non-obtrusive area in the business so you understand how we work, the type of things that we can do for you. We can prove that it works, and if you're happy, you can roll it out to other areas of the business. If you're not happy, project ends and away we go, and it's been lovely working with you. So it's really just about understanding the culture and the strategy and what that business is trying to do without a full-on commitment. You know, if it's one project that saves you £20,000 and that's the end of the engagement, fantastic. You know, if it's really sort of help solve a problem within the business, then that's the great outcome.
That's been very useful, Simon. Have you got anything you feel you've missed that you want to cover?
No, I don't think so. I mean, business costs are challenging. It's outsourcing some of those responsibilities can be sort of psychologically difficult for clients to do. And I think, you know, this isn't about trying to impose any solution onto clients. This really is about giving them choices in terms of what they can do. There are lots of different types of procurement consultancy. We really like to think that we're a fully agnostic, independent one, and you know, we work with you for you, and that's our sort of mantra in truth. So, I think that's it, really, Kevin.
Well, as you can tell, Simon is very approachable. As our era as a whole, they really do know their stuff on this. I think, you know, with all the other change going on in the world, just getting that independent view is absolutely critical. And I can't emphasize that enough, whether it's, you know, strategy, roles and responsibility team, or just costs and line reduction. Both Simon and I are very happy to chat. We'll put our emails up alongside the podcast. You've got those contact details. So any questions at all, open to it. And thank you all for listening. Thank you, Simon, as well.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, everyone. Cheers. Bye-bye.